We greet you this morning again in the strong name of Jesus. Where I come from in the southeastern part of the United States, it's like northern Florida. And in September, it's in the 80s. That's Fahrenheit. And thinking that way and knowing that spring had begun here, I brought some shirts to wear. And there's another reason I'm wearing this shirt. My good friend, Apostle Robert Munyon from Durban, South Africa, took me down into the hood. Now, that's an American term for neighborhood. Took me down into the hood. And white men don't go down there. He is East Indian. And met one of his friends, and he made this for me. So, anyhow, I'm cold, but I'm going to wear it. Hallelujah. Welcome the brethren from Ghana. Bless you, brethren. I brought Brother Dez several of my books, and I'm sure that some of those are earmarked for you. We've been teaching since Wednesday night by way of review. We came telling you Wednesday night that we have been purchased and purposed. We set forth Wednesday night and yesterday morning just a time of communicating so that we could communicate. And the keynote scripture that I've used is Proverbs 22 and 20. Who can tell me what it says? Proverbs 22, 20. He said, what? Have not I written unto you excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that are in order that I might make you know the certainty of the words of truth. The word for excellent there, again, means what? Threefold things. And so we began Wednesday night to unfold that. And the paradigm, the concept, the truth, the principle that we used was the one from the church in the wilderness, Acts 7:38, Moses, the head of that church, where they came out of Egypt through the wilderness and into the land. And a key scripture we gave you, not knowing that one of the brethren here had just brought his class through this concept, teaching Hebrews. He brought us out that he might bring us in. We went to Deuteronomy 6:23, and where it says, I brought you out from thence that I might bring you in to give you the land. He brought them out through the hand of a shepherd, Moses. He brings them in through the word, through the mouth of a soldier, Joshua. And so we just began to share that with you. And there's no way I can rehearse everything the Lord has done. The song of the Lord came Wednesday night. It came again yesterday. And anytime I hear the Lord singing over a place, I know there's victory. He sits in the heavens and laughs. Why? He has no enemies. What about the devil? He's your adversary. God has no enemies. He sits in the heavens and laughs. Say this with me. Say, laughter is a symbol of conquest. Hallelujah. And we, brethren, like Isaac, are sons of promise, Galatians 4:28. And Isaac means what? Laughter. Turn to somebody and say, I'm the victor and not the victim. Tell them. Hallelujah. We continued yesterday morning for two sessions. And though we stopped and got into a vein of prophetic teaching and preaching, by and large, we shared with you yesterday morning a twofold series called The Tabernacle is Jesus. And we went through the tabernacle Christologically, showing Jesus every piece of the furniture. We went through a little bit ecclesiastically, showing the church pattern, and then historically matching that. We only got as far as the altar of incense in the 50s and the tabernacle of David. We didn't get past door number 3. Tell somebody we'll do that next week. That's right. Because next Tuesday and Wednesday morning, Lord willing, what are we going to do verse by verse? Teach the book of Ruth. And if we get to chapters 3 and 4, we will tell you the rest of that story. And so, last night we began a message that we'll finish tonight called Corporate Anointing. And the one seed we left with you last night is that Christ is more than an individual. Tonight we'll see that Christ never left the planet. But the thing that really struck me last night was the song of the Lord, again. At the opening of the service, and then at the end of the service, nobody wanted to leave this room. Did you notice that? Just lingered and lingered and lingered. The manifest presence of the Lord is intensifying in these meetings. Not because of me or you so much, but because of the season. When I heard this morning of the price that these brothers paid to come to these meetings, I almost wanted to get angry and go home and help some of my own church people who won't come across the street to hear me teach the Bible. I know there's nobody like that in your area. But everything is determined by hunger and desire. What's your priority? Amen? Now, I make no apologies for this statement. In my estimation, just mine, from my perspective of the heavens and where you are in your understanding, I will tell you that I believe what I'm going to teach in these two sessions this morning is the most needed, and therefore to me, the most important thing I will say to you in these 10 days. I've been with you long enough and been within the confines of the heavens of your nation long enough to know that you're no different from America in this wise. The greatest need in the church in America is for people to know who they are in Christ. Hamartiology is the doctrine of sin. The Hebrew and Greek words for sin essentially mean to fall short of the mark or to miss the mark. You know that, don't you? But did you know that sin is a mistaken identity? Sin is a mistaken identity. Because the word mark, the Greek word charagma, transliterated character. Therefore, to fall short of the mark is to fall short of the character of Christ. Sin is a mistaken identity. Rewinding that and saying it again. The word for mark, as in the mark of the beast, is charagma. The word for mark is charagma, transliterated character. It means a mark, stamp, or impress. The point is made that to fall short of the mark, that sin, is therefore to fall short of the character of Christ. Therefore, and I know sin is a nature, and I know sins are the act of that. I know all that stuff, but the point I make, just listen. Quit trying to analyze me. Get that British thing out of here. Just listen to me, okay? And I'm not knocking the British or anybody that's like the British. I'm just saying, many of you are just, you're too cerebral. You need to loosen up. You need to roll on the floor and slobber in tongues for a little bit. Come on. Agree with me. Slap three people and say, the man's right. Now for the one... For the one that just said, I'll never do that. Please think that. Please. Come on, baby. Think that. I dare you to think that. Dare you to say it. Because my Father will take you on as a personal challenge. Come on. Think it. Think it. Don't back away now. You thought it. Come on. All of us need a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Somebody help me this morning. It's still not by might, come on, it's still not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I've been in this thing a while, but I refuse to lean on my experience. I must depend on the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Sin's a mistaken identity. That's why young people go out and say, do stupid things. They don't know who they are. That's why dispensationalism is so evil. It robs us of our true identity in Christ as the seed of Abraham and the seed of David. Taking the promises of God and giving them to another time, the future, and to another people, the natural Jew. God help us. You okay? Now, The More Excellent Ministry is a book that I wrote in the 80s, but the revelation of it was given to me in 1979. Having grown up an only child, and having cut my teeth on classical Pentecostalism, which was marked by hardcore legalism, and because of great insecurities in my life, I used to be a very, very, very harsh, angry, arrogant man. My daughter April, our first child, was born March the 24th in 79. I wanted to name her April. She came 2 weeks early. I did not want to name her March, so she is April. She's an April Dawn. That's her name. And she is just that. Pray for her husband because she's just like me. Oh, God, help us now. A few months before she was born, the Lord spoke to me, 79, and said, "This year I change you." And was that year that the heavens opened to me and I saw the mercy seat. And like Isaiah, I saw him high and lifted up. I saw the Lord seated in the most holy place. The mercy seat, as it were, play on words, is the seat of God, is the throne of grace. I saw that. And when I saw him, it instantly changed me. And I was on an airplane to Detroit, Michigan, and all of a sudden, the Lord whispered in my ear, and he said, "Son, when you get to Michigan, tell my people I'm going to deliver my creation." I said, "I know that. I've read Romans 8. He said, "But do you know how I'm going to do it?" I said, "I'm listening." He said, "Tell my people this." And he told me something in one sentence. I have yet to plumb the depths of what he told me. So I don't expect you to do it in the next 3 hours. He said, "Tell my people I'm going to deliver my creation by forgiving it." I did not know at that time when he said that to me. When he said, "I'm going to deliver my creation," how? Talk to me. Talk to me by forgiving it. I did not know then that the Greek word for forgiveness or remission was aphesis. 17 times in the Greek text, 15 times rendered as forgiveness or remission. And then in Luke 4:18, where the Lord Jesus went to his hometown, his home church, stood up and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me." Come on. He said to deliver all the beggars, the blind, the brown, and the bruised, all that. Quoting Isaiah 61. When he said, "I've come to preach," King James, "preach or proclaim," what? Deliverance is the King James. Deliverance. It is the Greek word aphesis. In the same verse, when he said to forgive or to release those who are bruised, it's the same word. Twice there. He said, "I've come to proclaim or preach deliverance to the captives and to," watch the King James, "set at liberty them that are bruised." In the King James, "preached and set at liberty," the same Greek word, aphesis. It's a jubilee word. Jubilee, you'll remember from Leviticus 25, every 50 years, one of the aspects of jubilee was to release the prisoners. Jesus is our jubilee. Somebody say amen. Amen. And it contains the Greek preposition apo, which means away from, in aphesis. And the pure meaning of forgiveness or remission, aphesis, means to be delivered up and out and away from the prison house. My God. Did you hear that? We've been delivered up and out and away from sin. I did not know that when he said, "I'm going to deliver my creation by forgiving it." Amen. The cover to this book, I saw in a vision of the Lord. It's looking through the eyes of the Father, the eyes of the Lord, seated in the most holy place, out through a rent veil to the nations of the earth. Now, I love you. Hope you don't get tired of me saying that. And there's purpose for everything I do. There's a reason I'm coming in here every meeting and say, "I love you. You're wonderful." Now, if you're a religious person, if you're bound by law, I'm tormenting you. I'm wearing you out with it. I wish he quit saying that. Doesn't he know we've got to? No, God doesn't need your help. There's nothing you can do to get yourself out, get yourself through, or get yourself in except believe it. And the hardest thing for you to do, and it's going to be tough, is nothing as you labor to enter into rest. So don't sit there and analyze me. Don't sit there and argue theologically with me. Just listen till I'm finished. You don't know where I'm headed yet. But I'm telling you what I'm going to say right now in this first session for the next hour and in the second session is what you, dear ones, in this nation and what you need to hear more than anything else I'm going to say. Because it doesn't matter how good the news I bring and what God's going to do, if you don't believe you have a right to it, and if you don't believe you're worthy of it, and it's going to get real quiet here this morning because I'm already jumping all over the nerve. This is your greatest need. And you won't like the word I'm going to use. It's ignorance. It's not knowing or not being aware of what I'm going to tell you today. Well, you might know it here, but you got to know it here. And it's got to go from your head to your heart and eventually land in your feet because, quoting the word, come on, the eye cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. What you understand, you've got to walk out in shoe leather. Now I'm going to play my ace. I'm going to hit you as hard as I can hit you. Psalms 115, verse 16 says, the heaven belongs to the Lord, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. You are responsible for your nation. Don't blame God for the condition of New Zealand. And don't forget what I said. The move of God to your nation is not coming from America. It's not coming from without. Talk to me, somebody. Where's it coming from? You're supposed to say from us. Where's it coming from? I can't hear you. Where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? I don't believe you. You better stand up and shout this thing or I'm just going to... Where's it coming from? Sit down. My dear brethren from Ghana, it's not coming from America. American preachers have raped your continent. It's not coming from without, sir. But God in you is more than enough. Go tell your people it's coming from within. Man, I feel that all over me when I say that. I'll try you New Zealanders one more time. Where's it coming from, children? Not in your present state of mind, it won't. It'll never happen. And you folks are sweet, you're kind, and you're gracious. But it won't happen in your present condition. How dare you? Well, I can get on a plane and leave tomorrow. And you can get somebody in here who will tell you what you want to hear the way you want to hear it. Or God can send you a prophet who'll tell you the truth. But it'll come straight out of the mercy seat. You want to go to tea now, or you want to hear this? You may not want tea after this. This changed my life. There's a chapter in here called A Ministry Without Retaliation that saved my life. Let me make you mad or glad from the get-go. Would you like to know what bitterness is? It's in the room here. Would you like to know? How do you know? It has a certain smell. Would you like to know what bitterness is? It's unfulfilled vengeance. There's some people in this room and in my church that are madder than hell at God. They never tell you that. But it has paralyzed their destiny. They've never forgiven God. Okay, you theologians, I know what you're thinking, and if you wouldn't think it, I wouldn't take so long. God hasn't done anything wrong, nor can he. It's not that he needs to be forgiven, but from our stupid human perspective, we haven't forgiven him. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I'll quote scriptures down the line. He's perfect. Come on, somebody. He was the Lamb that was without sin. I find no fault in him. From Adam to Jesus is 4,000 years. That Passover lamb was inspected for 4 days. One day with the Lord is with, 1,000 years. He's pure. He's faultless. He's sinless. One of my key scriptures, Hebrews 7:26. This high priest is holy, harmless, undefiled from sinners, made higher than the heavens. I know all that stuff. I'm talking about you. There are young people in this room and students in this school. God brought you here to save your life. In America, it's amazing what they call evangelism. Threatening them with hell and an any-minute rapture, they scare people. Well, let me tell you something. Whatever means you get people to an altar, that's how you keep them there. You scare me there, you got to keep me scared. You sing me there, you got to keep singing to me. You entertain me there, you got to keep me entertained. Only the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. That's in your Bible anyhow. Because of our Baptist, fundamental, evangelical, classical Pentecostal background, the residuals of that legalistic, sin-conscious preaching, condemnation, fear, shame, embarrassment, intimidation, religion. There's more hope for a pimp or a prostitute off the street straight into the kingdom than there is for some folks who spend all their life in church of ever hearing the truth. Say, my Lord, Pastor Varner, you kicked this into another world this morning. What I'm going to say today is the most powerful thing that this nation needs to hear. There's a mindset that feels like, well, we're down under. That very phrase is awful. You're not down under. You're far above. Oh, you're just picking. Quit analyzing me. Like the black preachers say at home, get up off of me. I want to help you today. Well, we're just a small nation. You sound like Gideon. Who am I, smallest tribe, da-da-da-da. Gideon was a coward. Every judge, a good teaching can't get it while I'm here. But historically, the judges were forerunners of the kingdom. Samuel and his sons being the last of the judges, preceding Saul, the first monarch or king. And every judge was a psychological misfit. Every one of them was imperfect. God's going to establish a perfect kingdom with imperfect people. Oh, God, help me. All the way from Othniel, who was Caleb's little brother, overshadowed. Ehud, left-handed in some cultures, physical handicap. Excuse me, ladies, but I can't help men are ignorant. One of the judges was a woman, though her name, Deborah, means bee, denoting order and intelligence. And all the women said, yeah, that was weak. When I teach the women the truth about their being liberated in Christ, it's not the men who get upset with me when I tell the women the truth. It's the women. You know why? They despise me for releasing them for all of their crutches and excuses. And finally, they have to be responsible rather than a shadow. You okay? Samson had an uncontrollable passion. Tola, the worm, insignificant one. Jephthah, son of a harlot, black past. Gideon, a coward. And God purposefully designed their human weakness so that they would either succumb to it or rise up in spite of it. and say, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. When's he going to open his Bible and say, now let us turn, so he will know he's preaching? I want us to get in the mood first. Because God's about to do surgery. Remember? Turn to three people and say, you will live and not die. We're laughing and chuckling now because it's less painful. It helps the ouch, brother said. Let's go to Hebrews. As you turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, you may or may not know this, but the word Hebrews means to cross the river, to pass over. And therefore, it's a book certainly for those who are passing from adolescence to maturity, from the holy place to the most holy place, from Pentecost to tabernacles. Hebrews 4, verse 14. The Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly unto the what? Throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, or find seasonable help. Chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Watch it. Verse 2. Who can have what? Compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Chapter 7. The verse I quoted a moment ago, verse 26. Hebrews 7:26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. 7:26. And then our root text, chapter 8, 1 through 6. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is what it adds up to. And the things of which he has spoken, you'd have to go back to chapter 5, verse 1, and go all the way through chapter 8, verse 6. Because in chapter 5, verse 1 through 8, verse 6, he tells of Melchizedek and a Melchizedekian priesthood, the priesthood of Jesus. So he sums it up for us. Thank you, Lord. He says, chapter 5, verse 1 to chapter 8, verse 6, he said, this is the sum. He said, this is what I'm talking about. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. Verse 6. Tremendous verse. But now hath he, Jesus, obtained a what? More excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. The key word to Hebrews is better. Kritone means nobler, stronger. Better blood, better promises, better priesthood. Better, better, better. Better faith. These all died in faith, God having provided some better thing for us, a better faith. All right, now, say this with me. This is the sum. Can't hear you. This is the sum. Can't hear you. This is the sum. Say this with me. We have a man in the throne with a ministry. That's it. There's the purpose of God in one sentence. Jesus the pattern, the corporate man, the body. A man, maturity, in the throne, authority, with a ministry. And what you find in America and New Zealand is usually we have one of the three. Some folks just, we have a man, and all they preach is maturity, maturity, maturity. They never exercise authority, and they sure enough have no priestly ministry. Classical sonship in America is now irrelevant. Those folks won't pray. They don't believe in evangelism. They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and think they're going to deliver creation. The theology is sound, right, and true. Always has been and has been for 55 years. I cut my teeth on it. And I walked away from those brothers 25 years ago because I saw where they were headed. Nowhere. Just a top-heavy theology. We'll never deliver the creation on the basis of what we know. If that were true, we'd have gone to the house years ago. These things I'm telling you, I've preached for 30 years. Then there are those who get on the throne part. There's your whole faith camp, the authority of the believer. They have no understanding of the man part, the maturity part, 1, 2, 3. And in their arrogance of their faith, they sure have no compassion. All they can preach now is that money cometh. Slap your neighbor and say, this is sure going to get interesting today. Some of you that have had questions, for every question today, you're going to get two answers. Then there are those with the ministry part, the charismatic renewal, compassionate. Love people, love God, believe in evangelism. But no maturity and no character, and therefore no authority. If we could just get all three of these guys married, a man in the throne. Now, let me tell you what I see looking at me. I see the man part and the throne part. And the ministry part, but it's embryonic. It's all there. But what's going to bring it to maturity? You shall know the truth, and it'll make you free. A man in the throne with a ministry. Now I'll say this with me. God lives in a three-room house. The third room is the living room. Now who said I'm the way, the truth, and the life? Who said I'm the way, the truth, and the life? Where did he say it? You know that one, John 14:6. All right. Everybody say, we're in Bible college. We are experts in the scripture. I knew it. So in the outer court, he's the only way to God. In the holy place, he's the truth of God. In the most holy place, he is the very life of God. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Where did he say it? Mary, John 11:25. Good. Whoa, I'm impressed. I told him before service. No. How many glad he's the way, truth, and alive? Amen? Where's God live? What's the third room? It's also the loving room. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Where's it found? You should at least get the chapter. 1 Corinthians 13:13. That's right. All right, we're on our way now. That mercy seat, which literally means propitiation, is the very throne of God. Throne of grace. It's where he sits, enthroned between the wings of the cherubim. Classical sonship talked about the most holy place, but the problem is they kept making it future. And the devil doesn't care what you guys believe as long as it's in the future. There's no future in the past, and there's no point of just looking to the future. Jesus was crucified between two thieves, the past and the future. The one thief so hopelessly bound to his past, so totally condemned he had no hope. And the other thief had but a future concept of the kingdom. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. crucified between two thieves, the past and the future. Those thieves are named What If and How Shall It Be. God's told me to do this, to do that. Well, what if? What if, you know, the enemy comes and reminds me of what it used to be? And Lord, I believe you for great things, but how shall it be? And I don't want to get into all that. That's a separate teaching. My point is this. There's a man in the throne with a ministry. God lives in a three-room house. A third room is the living room and the loving room. If I had time, I'd show you it's also the green room. But that's another message too. Now, there's one piece of furniture in God's living room. One. It's a love seat. It's a mercy seat. Now, this needs to be addressed. When some of you hear the word love, you think it's the syrupy stuff. Nah, not going there. There's erotic love. That's man-woman love, eros. There's phileo love, friendship. You can do all that without the Holy Ghost. But you need Holy Ghost to get this third kind, the agape. And love is a person described in 1 Corinthians 13. And one of love or reality's characteristics is that what? Rejoices in fellowship with the truth. So it's not greasy grace. It's not sloppy agape. So don't hear that when I say it. Please don't. It is also not that self-imposed pharisaical regimentalism, legalism, going to help God by trying to live right either. That'll just get you killed. You see, old-timey Pentecost, classical Pentecostalism marked by legalism, we were in a ditch. So we woke up one day and got up a full head of steam, ran straight across the road, fell in the other ditch. And the other ditch is called license. Say, why are you doing this? So your professors can spell relief, okay? This is how you spell relief for the professors. I won't hurt you, I'll help you, but you got to hear me all the way through. Now, legalism will kill you. License will kill you quicker. In his Galatian epistle, where he dealt with the maturation of the seed, that's the theme, Paul dealt with both enemies, law and lust, legalism and license, the Judaizers and the antinomians. The legalists, the Judaizers, and then antinomians, antinomos, anti-law, lawless. And he said, boys, don't you know, for those guys, he said, the works of the flesh are obvious. I mean, any fool knows this stuff is sin. Any one of his famous lists. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Where is that found? Well, you know, it's Galatians. I'm talking about Galatians. What chapter? 5, what verse? 19, 20, and 21. That's correct. Now, you wouldn't ask so many questions. I wouldn't have to make this tape longer than it needs to be. I have before me my notes. Behold my notes. Can't preach without notes. Said that. The man on the throne with the ministry. Let me tell you how he operates said ministry. Through the creative spoken word. Life and death are where? Power of the tongue. He operates this ministry out of the throne. How? By a creative spoken word. That creative spoken word takes two tracks. You ready? Forgiveness and blessing. These are just raw root principles. There's a man in the throne with a ministry, a creative word ministry, taking two tracks. What are they? Forgiveness and blessing. Now, the study guide that I gave Des last night on the trilogy is Prevail, the more excellent ministry, the sequel to that, and then the priesthood is changing. So, sir, you not only have my book that I gave you, what I'm teaching this morning, you already have a study guide for everything I'm saying today. It's already in print, and it's available for group study. And I leave it with you. Isn't that nice? Okay. No. I love you, but yeah. What's your question? What's your question? No, it's a different word. He said it's the word excellent in Hebrews 8:6, the same as Proverbs 22:20. I'm not sure, but I'd have to go into the Septuagint to find out, but I don't know. But I'll tell you what I do know. Let me give you synonyms for the more excellent ministry. Okay? Say this with me. It's the high priestly ministry. See, the outer court was for all Israel. The holy place was for the priest, but the most holy place was for the high priest. So this is high priestly ministry. Okay? It's a king-priest ministry. Right? It's a king-priest ministry. Melchizedek, starting with Genesis 14. Melchi, king, Zedek, righteous. Melchizedek, king of righteousness. And he was also king of Salem, or Jerusalem. So he's also, by interpretation, king of peace, Hebrews 7 says. Who's that talking about? Jesus. Don't make this hard. When this Melchizedek, and you can argue all day long, leave it alone. Where the Bible says much, I say much. Where the Bible says little, I say little. Learn that principle. Who was Melchizedek? We don't know. Was he Shem? Who cares? Who cares? Was he a Christophany, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament? I don't know. Who knows? That's not the point. The point is, he is a picture of the Melchizedek in my mind. To me, I got it. Melchizedek is Jesus. Help me, somebody. Tell three people Melchizedek is Jesus. Who's the king of righteousness? Who's the king of peace? Who's the king of kings? Golly, just... Sheesh. Did he prophesy to Abraham? Yes! So he must have been a prophet, priest, and king. And all three of those offices meet together in whose glorious person? Jesus. We make this hard. He is the faithful priesthood. Melchizedek's the faithful priesthood, where in the opening chapters of 1 Samuel it talks about that. The faithful priesthood. This is on page 30 of the book. You can make a note of that. It's on page 30 of this book. Melchizedek is the Zadok priesthood, Ezekiel 44. Zadok embodies faithfulness. And that priesthood had garments that were without wool. No wool, no sweat, no sweat, no curse. No curse, no sin, no sin, no death. Wow. This Melchizedek priesthood is the royal priesthood. Where's that found? New Testament verse. 1 Peter 2 and 9. He said, for you, church, 1 Peter 2, 9, are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar. That does not mean weird or strange. It means uniquely his, owned by God, his own treasure, his own peculiar people. This priesthood is the priesthood with Urim and Thummim, Ezra 2. But I've said the biggies. It's the priesthood of Jesus. There's pictures of it in the Bible, Zadok particularly, but it's the priesthood of Jesus. Old Testament, Aaronic, Levitical, New Testament, Melchizedek. Got it? Now, it's not just historical and biblical, it's by principle. There's an old order, there's a new order in every era. And priesthood or ministry, that's old order. It could be Pentecostal, whatever you want to tag it. It's Aaronic and Levitical in principle. You know why? It's prejudiced. You know why? It's limited. You know why? Like the law, it's weak. You know why? It only ministered to one nation, or denomination, or imagination. It's narrow. It's bigoted. It's ignorant. Now, this thing's going to get bigger than this room. You better hear me. Say, what are we doing? I'm prepping you for your operation. Now I've got nine principles that describe this Melchizedek ministry. This ministry. There's a man in the throne with a what? Talk to me. With a what? Ministry. I've already given you the first one. The first one is it's a ministry of a prophet, priest, and king. What is it first? Prophet, priest, and king. Now, whose ministry is this? And ours. What does it say in Revelation 1:6? He has made us kings and priests. What's it say in 5:10 of Revelation? Same thing. And we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 1:6, 5:10 declares that you and I, the church, are what? Kings and priests. 1 Peter 2:9, what are we? A royal or kingly priesthood. Don't make this hard. So he's King of kings, Lord of lords, priest of priests. Whose ministry is this? Oh, I see. Who's the man in the throne with the ministry first? Jesus. And by extension, the corporate man. You getting it? See, I'm building. I told you I'd start preaching one message Wednesday night. Do you see how I'm building line upon line here? Okay, so what's the first characteristic of this ministry? Prophet, priest, and king. Secondly, this ministry is unlimited. Is the ministry of Jesus limited? Come on, is this ministry limited? Who is yours? You give me the right answer. So if there are limitations on your ministry, who put them there? You don't even need a devil for this one. Except it's the one you looked at in the mirror this morning. All right, number three. Jesus' ministry is energized by the power of an endless life. Where's that found? Hebrews 7:16. The Aaronic Levitical priesthood, Hebrews says these priests did what? They died. But his ministry, whew, it's energized, Hebrews 7:16, by the power of a what? An endless life. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. So that means there's an endless increase. There's no bottom to this well. Whatever you learn from me, just look at me and see a man who believed that and tapped into it in the scriptures. And God promised me 30 years ago, he said, you should be like a water garden whose waters fail not. What's that mean? I never lack to say something in the word. You can't exhaust it. It's endless. It's bottomless. Whew. So I'm somebody special, right? No, he's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter literally of faces. I didn't touch a Bible until I was 21. That's sad. That's sad. When I say touch it, I mean really get a hold of it. Get into it. Give myself to it. Fourthly, his ministry is eternal. Whoo, I love this. It's not going to end. Hello? There won't be another. This is it. John was in prison. He said, are you it or shall we look for another? There is no other. This is it. That's some of y'all's weapon. You're still waiting for your big, you know, waiting for something to happen. The Baptists are waiting, you know, to throw up the window. Maybe today. We're no different. We're no different. His ministry is eternal. Thank God. Number five, it is immutable, meaning unchangeable. As I said, there won't be another. There won't be another. This is it. Number six is the theme for this morning. And don't run from my term. This ministry is universal. What's that mean? It's for everyone, whosoever will. So is it limited to men? Come on, gentlemen, wake up and smell the roses. Is it limited to men? Can you have a woman apostle? Yes! I don't believe it. You've been wrong before. Talk history and Bible. Otherwise, don't have any kind of a conversation with me because I'm not in the mood right now. You look angry. I am. You mad at us? No. I'm dealing with something over your head, and I'm upset with it. And I'm going to slit his throat this morning. And I'm not going to be nice. I'm going to hack it to pieces, just like Samuel did to Agag. Not nice. So if I appear angry, if I appear intense, don't read my heart and my words apart from my don't read that apart from my spirit. Well, aren't you ministering to us today? Yes. But there's more than in this room than just, you know. All right. This ministry is universal. It flows to all men. So it's just limited to grown-ups, right? We learned last night the whole house is anointed. Grown-ups, teenagers, children. Just for white folks, right? Just for black folks, right? Almost said it, so I will say it. That idiotic teaching, that senseless teaching of Anglo-Saxonism, the identity message they call it, that the white man is Israel. Go away from here. It's rotten. Thank you, sir. It's rotten. A man as sweet as that says it's rotten. I say it's rotten, yes. Quite, yes. It's rotten, yes. P-U. So the black brothers come out of the Caribbean with the Cushite message. Says the black man. It's the day of the black man. What's the difference? I was in a convention. I won't tell you who they were. It'd shock you. And I was on the ministry team with all these notables. There was only white preacher in the room, 500 of us. And they got on that stuff, and I got up with the next speaker. I said, read my lips! I'm a Cushite! You could have heard a pin drop. And I said to the previous ministry, I said, now lest you consider my brother a racist, let me tell you something. Cushite's neither white nor black. He's a man who has a message that he's carrying that will move the heart of the king. That is a Cushite. It's not the day of the black man. That happened historically. Ham had his day. Look at the Egyptians. Not the day of Shem. Jew had his day. Look what happened. And sure enough, whitey, in his day, we've had it. Look what we did with it. So after 6,000 years, the Lord said, y'all through? Now it's the third day from Jesus, seventh day from Adam. I think I'll have my day. And if I had me a day, it'd be the way I wanted it. It's not the day of the black man or the white man. It's the day of the new man. Why aren't you shouting? I said, why aren't you shouting? Hallelujah! It's the day of the church. It's the day of the Lord. Okay. This ministry is for whom? All men. And I love you. But there's people sitting in this room heard me teach this Wednesday night, and you're not convinced yet that you are part of this. So let me tell you what my good friend LaDonna Osborne taught me. She said, wherever you go, tell my people, number one, there is a God. Number two, God has a plan. Number three, that plan is always working. And number four, that plan includes you. That's the Osborne theology. Must be doing something right. Their literature's in 132 languages. I love that lady. Helped her write a book. It's coming out at the end of this year. What a woman. I love her very much. There is a God. God has a plan. That plan is always working. Hello. And that plan includes you. Somewhere along the line, you got the notion, I don't know if somebody taught you, or you just got it by yourself, that you're either not worthy enough, I don't think that's it, or you're afraid of the responsibility, I don't really think that's it. I'm not sure what it is, but you sure got it. I'm going to help you. Number eight, this ministry brings perfection, teleos, completion. The law could bring nothing to conclusion, but the bringing in of a better hope did. This ministry brings perfection. And finally, the Melchizedek priesthood puts away the curse of the law. What was that? Sin, sickness, poverty, and death. Now, that's a ton of stuff. That's on page 31. That's a mouthful. That's months of teaching. It really is. The one I want to key in on is that this ministry of Jesus is for everybody. It includes you. Now, let me check my notes. Boom, 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 boom. I'm down to there. Been an hour already. So I don't know how much of this stuff I'm going to give you, because I've got to get down to the main menu. So I'll probably just make this other stuff some appetizers. The main place where I'm headed today is this. I'm not give you any appetizers. Say this with me. Christ is the image of God. Where's that found? Christ, who is the image of God. Where's that found? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. That's right. It says in the Christ, you're making me work harder than I need to. Christ is the image of God. Antichrist is any other image. What image are you hiding behind? Well, I'm male, I'm female, I'm white, I'm black, I'm smart, I'm stupid, I'm fat, I'm skinny, I'm handsome, I'm ugly, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm kingdom. Yes. Now it gets quiet again because people are tugging at their mask. Oh my God, he's going to take my clothes off. Oh my God. You'll feel like Adam and Eve. They had a problem, and they covered up their problem with their own answer. It was called an apron in the King James. Tell somebody there was a problem with the problem. Tell them. Tell your neighbor it only covered the front. And see, when you have a religious front, don't turn around, baby, because we're going to see what you are. Woo! It's warm in here. The religious folk don't get that. Us street people get that. Bible calls it a veil. It's flesh. It's an apron. It's an Ishmael. It's an idol. It's man's attempt to help himself. It's religion. Don't turn around. Now you've got a problem, because the book of Acts says these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Ooh. You see, Pentecost is half a hundred. 50's half a hundred. Hosea said, Ephraim is a cake half turned, half baked. They don't know what to think of me, Des. He invited me. Me mad at him. Ephraim is a cake half turned. Crummy on one side, gummy on the other. Turn to your neighbor and say, flip me. Pentecost still half a hundred, half baked, man. Some of you just now got that. That took about time. We wear a mask. We have a home mask, church mask, school mask, Bible school mask. I'm a very disturbing kind of guy to be around, because what you see is what you get. I get in trouble just by walking in a room. Christ is the image of God. Antichrist. Anti does not mean against. It carries that meaning. But more so, it means instead of. So what is something other than instead of Christ? It's humanism. It's something other than him, other than the anointing. Excuse my language, I hope this won't offend. It's a lousy human substitute. It's an invention of man. It's an Ishmael. I won't have time to tell you today that the mark of the beast is a present reality. Well, I would, but I don't have time. Maybe if I do a message one morning next week called The Seven Separations of Abraham, where the sixth one was Ishmael, a product of Abraham's, well, Sarah's head, actually. Good idea. and Abraham's loins and strength. Where's the mark? Forward and right hand. Anyway, we'll see if we get there or not. And knowing that Adam, the old man Adam, is a beast, because the word for beast is therion in Revelation 13, meaning a wild beast, like Ishmael, wild, untamed donkey. Maybe we'll get there. Christ is the what? Image of God. What's Antichrist? Now, on the count of three, please help me cooperate. You'll need some tea after this. On the count of three, give me your first and last name just as loud as you can. One, two, three. Let's do that one more time. If somebody doesn't obey and listen to me, punch him and say, will you listen to him so he can help you, all right? Just slap him good, all right? Now, on the count of three, one, two, three. Now, when you hear that name and when others hear that name, what image do they have? Now, here's another biggie. What is division? It's two visions. What's James 1:8 call that? Double-minded. In the next session, we're really going to key in exegetically on James 1, and we're going to meet the man in the mirror. But he said a man is double-minded, literally double-souled. One translation says a man of two minds. He's irresolute in everything he thinks, decides, and feels. So here's God. Listen, this is not hard. This is not hard. Here's God, and that book is what he said about you. Right or wrong? Talk to me. Is that his will and testament? Somebody died and left you something. Come on. We're here looking at the will today. The difference is he's the testator, but this testator, I want to preach, but I don't dare, I daresn't. This testator arose from the dead to become the executor of his own will, to make sure you get it. Hallelujah! Then he moved in and he lives inside of you, just to keep you straight. Hallelujah! No wonder the prophet said a fool can't miss this thing. I wonder. Now, Christ is the image of God. Antichrist is what? What's the first of the Ten Commandments, Decalogue? Thou shalt have no other gods before me, literally before my face. Say this with me. Duality is idolatry. Now, you can do two things at this juncture. You can open your spirit or close it. If you open it, the Lord can change you. If you close it, you go out of here with the same mask you wore coming in. And we've all have had them. All of us. All have sinned and come short. There's none righteous. Not even you and me. So God had to come up with a plan. God had to come up with a solution. God had to come up with a remedy. God had to. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. You know all that. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Come on. Grace through faith. You know all that stuff. Grace is his ability. Christ is the image of God. Antichrist is any other image. When your name is called and you hear it and others hear it, what image is there? Is it what God has thought and said about you? Or is it what man has thought and said about you? Who marked you? God or man? And in that man thing, include yourself. Well, I'm just this way. I'm just naturally nervous. Which nature? Well, my whole family's like this. Then your whole family's messed up. And don't go in there with me. We all came from a dysfunctional family. His name's Adam. Jeez. By one man's disobedience, by one man's obedience. You know all these. I'm after something this morning. I can only see. I was gonna go into this and teach it, Des. I can't. Well, I could, but I'm not going to. I was going to deal with a ministry without condemnation, without prejudice, without walls, without retaliation, without profanity. You teach it. You got the book, you got the notes. And don't let them up. Don't give them any mercy till they hear it. God won't let me give you any asides this morning. He will not let me give you an anesthetic. He said, cut them open now. Can I have liberty? You sure? No break today. If we do, we'll lose it. You'll talk it away. You'll eat it away. You'll tee it away. Or pee it away. Whatever you're going to do. That's the only reason I'll let any of you out here. I just got to go. I don't love you. Jump up and run to the bathroom at once. I'll be suspicious. I love you. I'm not going into those other things. I can't. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This ministry is a ministry without condemnation. Proverbs 17:15 says, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Anyone in here justified by faith and know it? The ground of your justification being the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone in here justified by faith, saved? God said, if you condemn the just, it's an abomination. Whether that's your brother or yourself. Now, I'm not talking about conviction of sin. Ease up on me, will you? There's a difference between condemnation and conviction of sin. The one is of the devil. He gives you no hope. When the Holy Ghost convicts you, convinces you concerning sin, there's a heaviness, yes, but there's always hope. That's how you know the difference. A ministry without condemnation. Romans 8, there is therefore now. I could go into all that. I don't dare. It's too much. Ministry without prejudice. When I wrote this in 88, I put down 10 kinds of prejudice. I gave you a book. I have it over to room. Called the three great prejudices. Racial, gender, and the Jew-Greek thing. But there's no prejudice in Christ. He's above all that. And there's more than just racial prejudice. And I would be tempted to get on that, but it's not really needed. I went to South Africa and screamed that stuff. And there's 10 different kinds of prejudice. 10 different kinds. I'm not going to give you all that. Ask Des. I'm leaving this stuff with him. There's chronological prejudice. Well, I don't like young people. They don't like you either. There's geographical prejudice. We're down under. In the United States, there's a line called the Mason-Dixon line. Think of the Civil War. Yankees and Southerners. Regional holiness. Where are you from, boy? The worst kinds of prejudice is religious, churchy prejudice. Denominational prejudice. What group are you from? Ministerial prejudice. Who's your favorite preacher? And don't forget doctrinal prejudice. What do you believe? And then with these 10 kinds of prejudice, I go into another chapter in this book about walls. And show 10 kinds of walls. that build up over these 10 kinds of prejudices, all the way from walls between people to walls between nations. No wonder we're messed up. But God's made war on the wall. It's a prophetic war. Oh, hallelujah. In the book of Daniel, he wrote on the wall. Wall's coming down. In Ezekiel, he dug through the wall. Come on, somebody. Joel's army climbed all over that wall. David got happy in Psalms 18, jumped over it, and Joshua just shouted by faith, and it fell. That's a progression and a whole message. No more walls. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a city without. If you change the A to an I, you'll know what the problem is. Wall will. I will not love that person. I will not forgive. I will not obey God. So those were some of the appetizers. Ministry without retaliation. I was going to show you that Jesus never turned the other cheek. Can't go there. A ministry without profanity. I was going to give you Christian's 10 favorite cuss words. Y'all don't know what I'm going to do. Profanity is anything that comes out of my mouth not in agreement with the letter and spirit of the Word of God. Stuff like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to use these X-rated words in mixed company. Chill, Dez, I'm all right. Words like, I'm only human. Remember that one from yesterday? That's profanity. Words like, nobody loves me. Words like, I can't. Go on with yourself. You won't. You will not. But don't give me that I can't. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ. That just means you can't because you won't let Christ strengthen you. And that doesn't just mean the supply of Christ in you personally. When I can do all things through Christ, Christ here and Christ here. Paul was in prison in Philippians 1. He said, through the supply of Christ within me and the prayers of the saints without, I'm getting out of here. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. This personal anointing in my own belly and the love and the prayers and the support and the faith of the Christ out here. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So if you're saying I can't, that means you won't rely on the God that's in you or you don't have anything to do with the crisis in your brother. Now we see the problem. Profanity. Words like but, B-U-T. And on it goes. Those are the great sweeping principles of the More Excellent Ministry. Without condemnation, without prejudice, without walls, without retaliation, without profanity. Hallelujah.